coming up.
They can say pannenkoeken and poffertjes, and that's about it.
I love a little pancake.
That's the sort of thing you might have picked up on, Mark.
We both failed the task this week.
Hoe zeg je dat?
Ooh, I say.
But I was the queen of the zombies, and I love that.
Sam and I have learned some stuff today.
It's just like background noise to me now.
It's a very soothing, reassuring energy that you give.
I love that. I think Sam ought to put that on our website.
Oh, you like the bamboozling ones?
What a great name.
That wasn't the briefing.
Not necessarily the right choice, not necessarily a brilliant choice, but you make a choice.
Actually, quite unusual. We don't always do that.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello, welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. Here's my co-host, Samantha Boffin.
Hello.
Hello.
And here's my co-host, Mark Rice.
Oh, hello. This is the podcast for voice actors that reminds us that there isn't just one way to read a script, there are lots of different ways.
Yes, there are. So, my family used to keep bees. Is that true or false?
Buzzy bees in hives.
Buzzy bees, yeah. Bees in hives. Bottom of the garden.
Nice. I mean, I like a bit of honey. I'm kind of hoping that that's true. That sounds like a good one.
No, it's sadly not.
You made it
but
up.
I have awesome. Always wanted to keep bees. Bees would be cool. I'd love a few bees.
Yeah, okay. Well, mine is, years ago, I competed in a local baking competition and I got a gold rosette for my chocolate cake. True or false?
Little Mark with his chocolate cake. I think it was... I'd like to think it was true. Gold rosette
for
Mark.
It's false. It's
false.
Oh,
boo.
I can bake a good chocolate cake, but I never won a competition.
Oh, that doesn't make it any worse.
That's true.
Still makes
That's
it
true.
A lovely chocolate cake. Okay.
Let's welcome our special guest, shall we? Voice actor Magtel Vandergaard. Hello, Magtel. How are you?
Hello there. Hi.
Hi.
I'm good.
Lovely to have you along from Amsterdam. Sam,
yes.
Let's find out a little bit more.
Yes, absolutely. Magtel has been a voice actor for over 30 years. She is trilingual. Her mother tongue is Dutch, her birth language is French, and her adolescent language, since 13, is English. She is based in Amsterdam, and she's a former copywriter.
Well, she works across lots of voiceover genres, from web videos, commercials and IVR, to e-learning, audio tours and audiobooks. She's also the moderator of the Dutch voiceover group and a singer of French chansons, or songs to the rest of us non-trilingual folk. Welcome along to the podcast. Have you got a fun fact for us?
Yes, because of all those languages, I get fun projects sometimes. And the most fun one was I was in San Francisco and I was recording in the closet of a guest room where I was staying. And it was an educational thing for Australia, but I had to do something in like Xena on a top in the James Bond movie. So like a low Russian accent.
Yeah.
But the reason the algorithm gave me that audition is because a Dutch actress, Famke Janssen, played that role. So, you know, it was crazy. And it was a 17-hour time difference. And it paid 62 Australian dollars. But it was the most fun I had. You know, playing a part and just having fun with it.
It just goes to show that some jobs that are fun aren't necessarily the best paid ones, but
no.
You get the most out of them at the end.
No. It's just sometimes it's just about the fun or meeting people or doing something completely out of your comfort zone.
Well, with all those languages buzzing around, let's have a look at the first script of our show and ask, how do you say that? Or in Dutch,
hoe zeg je dat?
How do you say that?
Right, so this is a little script that I've brought along.
Mm.
It's from a documentary.
Okay, and presumably we see Carl working on his muscles.
We do see Carl working on his muscles.
Is Carl a good-looking bodybuilder type?
I didn't even notice, to be perfectly honest.
Of course not.
That's the sort of thing you might have picked
That's
up
That's very
on,
true.
Mark.
That's the kind of thing I would notice. Okay. I'm a little sad for Carl because he's obviously trying to prevent the sciatica. And if you've ever had sciatica, that's a horrible thing to have.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I think it's written in quite a friendly way, this.
It is. And in fact, this is a cut together of about three different pieces. They all followed on from each other, but mm-hmm. in between times there was up sound and or in fact, in one time there was just kind of you had to really pause for a long time to let that piece of sort of dialogue go through.
It's already taught me something. I didn't know this.
Hooray!
That working out, you know, is not only for the muscles, but yeah. Well, they always say that the voice and the vocal cords are also muscles. So, you know,
yes.
it's kind of close to home. Yeah.
So we're working out them as well. Good point. Good point.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'll have a go first.
Yes.
And let's see if I can not suffer from the sciatica while I'm doing it.
Okay.
Right. To help prevent future sciatica pain, Carl works on building strength in his core and back. Strong muscles help stabilize the body, and the act of building muscles is in many ways a neural activity. You probably associate exercise with your muscles or heart, but recent studies have shown that when we lift weights, our nervous system actually gets stronger before our biceps. Working out increases neurons in certain parts of the brain.
Nice. Very informative.
Yes, very informative. And I like the way you put the... you probably associate exercise. I wouldn't have thought of doing that. I could see the image in front of me just by listening to the text, and it didn't hurt a bit.
So it's interesting, actually, that you picked up on the fact that this particular documentary narrator addresses the viewer directly, mm-hmm. which is actually quite unusual.
It's
we don't
unusual,
always
actually.
Do
yes.
that.
Yeah.
So this was very much a personal
it's
thing.
It's usually more... You know, general.
Third person. And
yeah.
It's why I went quite hard on the you, whereas in a corporate, I might go, you probably associate, and I would have hit associate more.
Yeah.
But it felt right to kind of address the viewer in a way.
Yeah.
I think in a little snippet like this, yes. But of course, by the time you get to this bit, which is like 30 minutes in or something,
fair, yeah.
you've done it a fair amount of times.
Yes, of
so
course.
You don't necessarily need to marquee it mm-hmm. in the same way. But no, I appreciate that. Actually, it's a really good point to pick up on. When you first start doing it, you marquee it in that way.
Yeah.
Then you get
yeah.
in the groove.
Well, MacTeld, how do you fancy having a go yourself at it?
Okay. Here goes. To help prevent future sciatica pain, Carl works on building strength in his core and back. Strong muscles help stabilize the body, and the act of building muscles is in many ways a neural activity. You probably associate exercise with your muscles or heart, but recent studies have shown that when we lift weights, our nervous system actually gets stronger before our biceps. Working out increases neurons in certain parts of the brain.
There was a lovely rhythm there,
yeah.
Sam.
And do you know what was interesting, Magda, is when this was actually done in situ, as it were, to picture, it broke in exactly the same way that you broke it up.
Interesting.
And because, of course, you had to time it to what you were seeing on
scenes.
Screen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So quite often, as is often the case when you're doing something to picture, you're sort of almost like waiting for the moment to come. So you have to put in sort of false punctuation almost in there.
Yeah.
And you did it almost exactly how it was done on the day. So that was really interesting.
Funny.
Would you say, Sam, that actually that false punctuation while you're waiting for pictures is very much indicative of documentary style, per se.
Maybe, yes, but working to picture, it's a funny way of doing it in that you have to keep one eye on the script and one eye on the visual so all the time, because you usually get a chance to time it.
Yep.
You know, you sometimes you read blind,
yeah.
but most times you get a chance to time it. So you're aware as you're reading along that you have to, I have to put a little tiny pause between building strength and in his core and back, say.
Of course, yeah.
So you kind of get the, and you put a little mark somewhere or you just remember it, hopefully. Because you only ever do documentary in short bursts.
Of course.
You kind of get to the bit that you need to do, which is this tiny little, I don't know, 16-second piece.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you practice it, then you do it immediately, and then you move on. So that was really interesting, actually, Magtelt. You really did nail it.
Oh, thank you.
Well, let's see how it was then, Sam, shall we?
Okay, yeah, absolutely. To help prevent future sciatica pain, Carl works on building strength in his core and back. Strong muscles help stabilize the body, and the act of building muscles is, in many ways, a neural activity. You probably associate exercise with your muscles or heart, but recent studies have shown that when we lift weights, our nervous system actually gets stronger before our biceps. Working out increases neurons in certain parts of the brain.
I got a very scientific documentary out of that, interestingly. I think rather than what either MacTeld or I did, which maybe was slightly friendlier, I got a much more scientific kind of style from you, I think.
And trustworthy.
Yeah.
You know what you're talking about.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I suppose there was an element of that. I mean, I wonder if when you're on the go with it, as it were, when you're kind of doing it, I wonder if I got less scientific as I went through. I wonder if I was as scientific at this point as I was when
As you were at the beginning.
As I was, at the beginning. I don't know. But, it's interesting.
No, and it's a very soothing, reassuring energy that you give, which really suits the subject matter, I think.
I love that. I think Sam ought to put that on her website.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a great review. And can you tell us how Carl ended up? Did he avoid the future sciatica pain?
Well, who knows? I don't think we come to any conclusions about Carl. There are a number of other people that we look at in the same documentary. So it's just a fleeting little, look into his life.
Fair. Well, it's worthwhile remembering these are real scripts we're working on. We've changed some names and some details to avoid copyright issues. Remember, you can find both the scripts that we're using today in the show notes of this episode.
Absolutely. So, MacTeld, tell us a little bit about yours. I love your script.
Yes, it was a great one. It was for International Women's Day on March 8th, and it's a huge shipyard in the Netherlands who builds all kinds of ships, really big ships. And the whole movie was, or the video was just showing all these women working in the shipyard, and not just at the office, but also, really hands-on and welding and behind the computer and making designs for ships. I don't know how they found me, but they said, yeah, we want your voice to be really low and put on a kind of transatlantic vibe to it, because it's a Dutch company, but they always think that
globalization.
If you put on the British accent, they say, nah, we don't want that. So they really want
fascinating.
That's interesting. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what they call international English here.
Yes, indeed.
That's why I always say I voice English in two international accents. This kind of Britishy thing, and I've taken coaching with a wonderful coach here in the Netherlands called Buffy Duberman. She's really called that.
What
Buffy
a great
Duberman.
Name!
It
what
is,
a
yes.
Great
She's
name,
from
Buffy.
Brooklyn. She's from Brooklyn. She married a Dutch guy, and she's amazing.
Sam, does the idea of doing it in international English terrify you or excite you?
It doesn't terrify me. I mean, I suspect I won't do it particularly well. But what is interesting that I've noticed when I do American stuff, because I do quite a lot of that in audio dramas and things like that, I find that I tend to, unless it's a Southern accent, I tend to go higher than natural. Yeah,
interesting.
Because you're naturally low.
Naturally low. And then if I do an American, I go a bit higher. And if I do a Southern American, I stay low. And it is something that I keep saying to myself, I need to practice this. And of course, there's always something else that I'm doing. And so I don't practice it. And that's what I really
need to do. I found the coaching really helpful, because this particular coach, she really also gave me tips and tricks about how my jaw was placed. In English, it's process. And then she said, well, in America, process, just drop your jaw. It's very physical, the way she coaches. Mm-hmm. Those kind of tips and tricks remain in your head. So
of course,
every time I voice a script like that, I've got her at the back of my head.
It makes it fascinating, because it's not American, of course. It is international English.
It is international,
and it is very different.
The other interesting thing about this on the page is there's very, very little punctuation.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
And when you sent it to me, there was very little, and I didn't put it in. So there is literally one full stop and one comma.
Yes.
I never thought about it. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, which is interesting. So it's up to me to work out. I mean, I can see on the different lines, but at the same time, you know, there's not a guideline there as to when you're finishing a thought.
No, yeah.
So I'll feel my way through it both in terms of accent and in terms of thought. So let's have a go.
Okay.
You could be forgiven for thinking the maritime industry is a woman's world. We refer to ships as she. They are named by lady sponsors. They sail upon a sea often thought of as a mother. But let's be honest. The maritime world may still seem a male-dominated one, and that is a shame. We want to work with the most talented, hard-working people, qualities that do not recognize the boundaries of gender. So, if we want to be the best at what we do, we need to be open to everyone.
Mm.
I found that very hard.
It sounded as if you weren't very comfortable.
I wasn't.
But you were channeling your Katharine Hepburn, I think.
Yes, I mean, I would have preferred to do it in a British accent. So that I would have been far more comfortable like that.
That wasn't the briefing.
No, absolutely. No, it wasn't the briefing. And that's why.
No,
so
thanks.
It would have been, so I felt uncomfortable doing it like that.
Yeah, but I'm sure that if you would do it several times, you would get comfortable because you do tell the story. And it's an interesting story.
It's interesting because when you go into an accent that I wasn't expecting, to be perfectly honest, and didn't prep or do anything like that with, what becomes the overriding thing that you're thinking is the accent going okay?
Yeah, of course it is. And you forget the story, don't you?
Is the storytelling going okay?
Yeah.
So then then you realise you've got to, you know, partway through, I'm too American here at times and I haven't quite got the balance right because I'm going in and out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you hear that.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard that you were struggling with that. Yes.
Yeah, and then I was also thinking, not only have I haven't got the accent right, but I haven't actually told the story a particularly good way. And then you're in the middle of it all and thinking all these things and then thinking, oh, I've got to kind of plow on here.
I've got to get to the end.
Sort of, meh.
Yeah.
It was difficult. I'm going to have just as much difficulty with it. I think you went in relatively hard, American, and then I think you were trying to pull back all the
it
time.
It lightened up,
Yeah.
It went more towards Europe afterwards, yes.
I was really all over the place. There's not a lot of forgiveness there with me for that because I really should have done, you know, I really should be able to do this.
I've done a few international English scripts with directors who have asked me to do it British, but rather than British, British.
Okay.
Do you see the difference there? Because it takes all of the hard consonants out.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of American, but it's not actually going to an American accent.
Hmm.
Which is odd sometimes, but that's what it's been asked to do. So I might kind of aim in that direction, perhaps.
Okay, that should be interesting.
I can tell you're confident with this, Magda. Let's see. You could be forgiven for thinking the maritime industry is a woman's world. We refer to ships as she. They're named by lady sponsors. They sail upon a sea, often thought of as a mother. But let's be honest, the maritime world may still seem a male-dominated one. And that's a shame. We want to work with the most talented, hard-working people. Qualities that do not recognize the boundaries of gender. So if we want to be the best at what we do, we need to be open to everyone.
Okay.
Oh, that's funny. That's... I've never heard English like that.
I don't do it very often like that, I have to say.
It's just like, why are you softening up those T's? Because the rest is all very British.
Not great.
It's strange, isn't it, that there's a whole market for international English.
Yes.
You know, that they don't want the native British voices or the native American voices. And I'm lucky in that respect that yes. It does exist.
There are certain people, I think, that can do it really well.
Yes.
Often they're the Americans, actually, can mm-hmm. kind of soften off their own language, perhaps because they can also do a British accent. So
yes.
they kind of can gauge where to place it. But I think you're absolutely right. That European sound, if you like, that somewhere in the middle of those two things.
Yeah.
So that sort of in the middle fits your expertise really well.
It felt very uncomfortable doing it that way. I think it would have felt less uncomfortable doing it American.
But you didn't want to go for that.
You make a choice and you stick with it, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not right. necessarily the right choice.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a brilliant choice, but you make a choice.
That stood out in that very uncomfortable way.
Any director would come back and go, yeah, let's not do it like that. Let's try a different way.
What you've made me think there, Mactel, is that it is something that it would be great to get some really proper focused coaching on.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
international English. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. If I can do an American and I can do a British,
yep.
then surely to God I should be
somewhere
able to
in between.
Actually nail that bit in between, which I'm currently not able to kind of do at the drop of a hat. And really, I should be able to.
Hey, Sam, that's another thing for our 2026 coaching list.
The international English.
So I really want to hear now
what
totally. You did.
Go for it. I want to hear it too.
Okay. You could be forgiven for thinking the maritime industry is a woman's world. We refer to ships as she. They're named by lady sponsors. They sail upon a sea often thought of as a mother. But let's be honest. The maritime world may still seem a male-dominated one. And that's a shame. We want to work with the most talented, hard-working people, qualities that do not recognize the boundaries of gender. So, if we want to be the best at what we do, we need to be open to everyone.
Wow.
Interesting. More American than I was expecting.
Yep. And me, but what an incredible tone that was.
Yeah,
and that
absolutely.
Really did feel, you're
the
absolutely right, though.
Yeah.
It did feel Hepburn-y in that way. It felt like, it was actually, you know, old school Hollywood. It had that kind of gloss to it, which I loved.
Yeah,
I loved.
You're right. Yeah.
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 A bit trailer-like.
Yes.
Things I never get to do.
And a really very much the deeper part of your natural range. Mm. Yeah, very distinct insofar as it was slower than perhaps I was expecting.
Yes, and softer, actually, than I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lovely.
Really nice.
Wow.
Play How Do You Say That?
Well, who knows what accent we're going to come up with in the wildcard part of the show.
Absolutely.
It's time to approach these scripts in a very different way, perhaps.
Yes, it is. So, Mactel, can you pick one of the scripts and give one of us, a new motivation or a new character or something interesting to do with them?
Yes. Well, I would go with the maritime script. Mm-hmm. And it would be a Cockney sports commentator.
Blimey.
Which one of us would you like to attempt this?
Let's start with you, Mark.
I can only imagine the relief on Sam's face right now.
when you look back at what we... when you look back at the visuals on this, Mark, look back at the video, you'll see how thrilled I was.
So, Cockney racing... fast.
Cool blimey, Governor. All right,
cool,
then.
Cool blimey, Governor. Let's see. Estuary. You could be forgiven for thinking the maritime industry is a woman's world. We refer to ships as she. They're named by lady sponsors. They sail upon a sea often thought of as a mother. But let's be honest, the maritime world may still seem a male-dominated one, and that's a shame. We want to work with the most talented, hard-working people, qualities that do not recognise the boundaries of gender. So if we want to be the best at what we do, we need to be open to everyone.
Yay!
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Good Lord.
Your ship came in first.
Yeah, that style does not exactly go with that script, does it? Good Lord.
No, but that's... I like that, the contrast, you know. And
wow. Yeah. Wow, good Lord. Have you got one for MacTel, Sam?
Yeah. Okay, I'd like you to do script one. Ooh. In a kind of it's no big deal way. You're a person who underplays things.
Okay.
And you're quite gung-ho. But you're kind of, you know, yeah, it's no big deal. Yeah. This is all fairly. Take this in your stride.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, to help prevent future sciatica pain, Carl works on building strength in his core and back. Strong muscles help stabilize the body. And the act of building muscles is in many ways a neural activity. You probably associate exercise with your muscles or heart, but recent studies have shown that when we lift weights, our nervous system actually gets stronger before our biceps. A working out increases neurons in certain parts of the brain.
Yeah, I love the almost throwaway nature of that. I mean, when you got to core and back, it was like, oh, yeah, I don't really care.
I love the kind of vocal fry in this, actually. The kind of, yeah, well, you know.
Yeah,
kind of. Totally. It was so completely different from how you did it before.
Yeah.
And totally nailing that brief as well, Sam, actually.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank
yeah,
you. Just,
yeah, yeah.
I like it. I like it. Yeah. Sam, I've got one for you.
Eels.
I'm going to go for maritime industry as well, if that's okay. I would like you to think of... period drama, as in, would like you to be straight out of a Bronte novel, perhaps, or a Pride and Prejudice. You're wearing the bodice and the big skirt, and everything is all quite fancy.
Okay, I'll have to think of a scenario in which I am fancy, being fancy. Okay, all right.
You may even be talking to the people within your family about the maritime industry. Maybe you are a lady that wants to be in the maritime industry.
I might be, or I might be a romantic. I might be being romantic about it.
Absolutely.
Yes, okay. Okay, let me think about this though. You could be forgiven that thinking the maritime industry is a woman's world. We refer to ships as she. They are named by lady sponsors. They sail upon a sea often thought of as a mother. But, let's be honest, the maritime world may still seem a male-dominated one, and that is a shame. We want to work with the most talented, hard-working people, qualities that do not recognise the boundaries of gender. So, if we want to be the very best at what we do, we need to be open to everyone.
I'm in the middle of Bridgerton.
Totally, yes.
You know, going to sea. Oh, you're just selling
it. Yes, almost at the shipyard in Bridgerton. Yes. I liked it.
I think it was a bit overplayed.
No, but I love that. I love that about it.
To be honest, you put us directly where we needed to be right at the beginning of it.
Yeah, we're all having tea and just hanging on to your every word.
Yeah. Yeah, interestingly, I felt very up close to the man of, you know, the kind of, I wanted to keep saying Mr. Darcy, but I was, you know, I wanted to, and I was very up close to him in my mind, at any rate, in my mind, with a tea in hand.
Well, if you want to play along in the privacy of your own booth, in whichever character you choose, as we've said before, we put the scripts in the show notes so you can have a try yourself. And as we've said before, Sam, 162 episodes, that's double that for the amount of scripts. There's a big script file there.
Huge, huge script library of short scripts that you can have a little go at. And it's an amazing resource, really.
Indeed.
So, Machteld, you not only work in three different languages, you clearly also have a wealth of different styles that you do within your voice work. So you can do the hard sell and the businesslike and the journalistic, but you can also do softer stuff, motherly stuff, or even comedic and friendly stuff. So out of interest, what is your most asked for style? What do people tend to ask for most? Ooh. And is it also the one that you like most?
Oh, good question.
Of course not. The one I get asked for, I mean, I'm really typecast. It's the most boring. It's the motherly, businesslike, reliable, relatable woman who can explain everything to
sure.
you. And, you know, and I'm very trustworthy. And yes. And I hate that. I just don't want to be like that.
What do you want to be doing?
I want to be fun or ballsy or...
Yeah. Evil?
Oh,
do you want,
yes.
Do you want to be those kind of characters?
Oh, yes. Oh, I did a game. I don't do many games. I did one game and I had the lead part in French and in Dutch and I lost my voice for about 4 days because I was shouting for 5 hours in London
wow.
in the studio. And I
okay.
had the time of my life, but I was the queen of the zombies and I love that.
Queen
I just
of the
love
zombies.
Doing that.
Wow.
Yes. That's what I want to do.
I love it. Yeah, Sam, what about you?
I suppose I get a variety of styles, but I suppose the one I'm, to be honest, the one I'm most asked for is the one that crops up most times, which is that middle of the road one, as you were saying. It's kind of they want something warm and empathetic, mm-hmm. but with an edge of authority. So a lot of the corporate stuff I get is that. And to be perfectly honest, a lot of the docs that I get also have that feel. There's a sort of authoritative, confident feel that they're wanting from me. And I've got quite a definite voice in that sense.
Has that changed? Because you went through a period of the quite sensual voice stuff as well.
Well, no, I'm booked to do that. Mm. But it's just that that only crops up from time to time.
Sure.
It's really useful to do it because when you're right for it, you're absolutely right for
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly.
But it's not something that, you know, not everybody wants a sort of sexy, sensual voice out there to do to sell their rubber bands. I quite like flirty, girty type things and sort of saucy stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
I quite like that. I like those kind of upbeat, adventurous characters. I suppose, actually, although I get a lot of mean old, you know, witches and assassins and
it's mean to say you're typecast that way. It's
people
mean.
People like that. Mean. It's mean. It's awful.
It's mean to say that.
What about you, Mark? What do you get asked for?
Away from the everyday, like the IVR and standard corporate stuff,
okay.
The corporate stuff that I love being asked to do is all of the vintage stuff. Because I still do a lot of vintagey
yes.
characters.
Ah.
But the vintage characters for modern stuff is fun. So, like, the vintage character that talks about the internet, that
yes.
thing that we don't know about.
Does it crop up a lot?
Surprisingly, but I think people come to me for it because they know I can do it.
And therein lies the, you know, the trick, isn't it? If you want to work in certain areas and want to do certain things,
make sure people can.
Then make sure people know that you can
yeah.
do it, even
yeah.
if you have to create content that shows that off.
Absolutely.
That is your own content. If that's what you want to do, talk about that more.
Yeah.
And you've done your homework in that. Just as Machteld has in the homework that you have done, if you like, the behind all of the stuff that you do has allowed you, does allow
yep.
you to, it's not just your languages
yeah.
which you are,
yeah.
you can
yeah.
draw on. It's actually the variations of different accents within those languages.
Totally.
And then on top of that, you've got the ability to do all these different tones, which is so exciting because it
yeah.
must open out the possibilities of what you can do dramatically.
Yes, and as opposed to amateur theatre, which I used to do a lot, I don't have to learn the lines by heart anymore, which is wonderful.
Yep.
Hooray!
Hooray!
Oh, Machteld, thank you so much for being on the show. I hope
you've
enjoyed
you.
It.
Thank you. It was great fun. It was great fun. And also listening to the different reads.
Yeah, every
yeah.
day's a school day on this show, and I think both Sam and I have learnt some stuff today.
Oh, for sure, and very, very excitingly, actually. So, of course, all of your details can be found in the show notes, Machteld, and of course, the scripts are there too.
And if you want to see what we all look like in our booths, check out How Do You Say That on TikTok and Instagram, because there are lots of little videos that we've got running at the moment.
Absolutely there are. That's it for this week. Thanks again to Machteld van der Gaag, and we'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking,
How do you say that?
How do you say that?